Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Hey, this is where the Lord's led me this morning. It's a little different. This isn't a 1, 2, 3 ABC kind of message. I'm going to touch on a couple of things that's above my pay grade, but I'm going to do the best with it that I can. I'm going to launch out of Mark chapter 16, the resurrection account. But I want to preach this morning on this thought, time in the tomb. Time in the tomb. Mark 16, thank you for coming out. It's Resurrection Sunday and we're glad you're here. If you've been born again, you'll know, you'll be part of that first resurrection that's continued from the first fruits of Christ until the end of Revelation. There's many carried into that. But if you're unsaved this morning, you're not part of that. You'll be in the grave another 1,000 years, and the grave's a place of torment, and it's going to be trouble. So we want you today, when you leave here, if I could ask for one thing, it'd be this, that you're satisfied and know for certain that you've been born again and put into the family of God by the Spirit of God. Now, so if you found Mark 16, shout amen for me. And when the Sabbath was passed, what does that mean? Thank you, Jimmy. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Wasted their money. I'll tell you who you don't find. You don't find this Mary there. She anointed him before his burial, the sister of Lazarus. She's not at the tomb this day. She knows he's not there. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. For it was very great. That's abnormal also. Most of the stones over there, just big enough to get a body into, and they roll it up. This door was much larger. It was a big stone. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. Now, we would have been affrighted too. Yeah. Not every day you see a glowing angel sitting somewhere. I want you to know this is all new ground for these people. As a matter of fact, they had one sect, the Sadducees, that said that angels and things spiritual wasn't even real. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Behold the place where they laid him. Father, I love you for the day, the time, the chance to be in church, Lord. We celebrate this day. It's the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in this day. I need your help today, Father. I pray you'd fill my mouth, guard my tongue, preach me with accuracy inside the bounds of the writ. I pray you touch me like you haven't touched me in a long time. I pray you touch the ears of those sitting in the congregation to have an ear to hear the word of God. I pray that the unsaved would be aware of their spiritual condition today. That God, life is short and soon they're going to leave this world. And that they'd be prepared to leave this world. So hear me, Lord. God, use me, I pray. When you're through with me, call me and I'll come to the house. I love you. I praise you. I thank you for all you've done. I ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to try to preach today on this thought, time in the tomb. Now, many skeptics and scoffers say that Jesus Christ is just another dead guy. They say, some say he's a good man. Many think he's a prophet. But I'm going to tell you this morning, by the authority of the Word of God, he is God in the flesh. If he's not God, who's that telling that blind man to see again? And he opens his eyes. If he's not God, tell me who touched that crippled man that he could stand up and walk. If he's not God, who's that walking across the sea in a stormy night and bids Peter to come to him? If he's not God, who tells the wind to shut up and lay down and it lays down? If he's not God, you tell me who he is. But he's man. And so being man, he became what we are. Yet he's God. Say, I don't understand that, preacher. It's above my pay grade. His ways aren't our ways. I never understand the ways of God, but I know how to be saved. And I know I'm a child of God this morning. And I believe and know that he was put, number one, he was put in a tomb. The word sepulcher here is the same as the word tomb. He was put in a tomb. Matthew calls it the tomb. Matthew 27 and 59 and 60. Then the body, taken the body of Jesus, that is, laid it in his own new tomb. That's Joseph of Arimathea. He's carved this tomb out. Look here. Couldn't have been any other dead body in there, or he would have corrupted himself. He would have been disqualified as the high priest. So he couldn't be where something dead was. As a matter of fact, when Jesus is around, everything that's dead comes back alive. Mark 15 and 46 said they wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher. Luke 23 and 53 said, wrapped it, referring to his body, in linen and laid it in a sepulcher. John 19, 41 and 42 said, in the garden, a new sepulcher. That's very important. Wherein was never man yet laid, and there laid they Jesus. In other words, it was a new tomb. It was a clean tomb. They put Jesus in the tomb. I want you to know that today. They put him in a tomb. Why is that so important, preacher? It's essential for us to know that he died and what they done with him. It's not only what they done, but it's where they done it. There was going to be this. Everyone in the Jerusalem area knew where this guy was buried. Listen, Joseph begged the body. Mark said he craved the body of Jesus. And they took the body and they put it in that tomb. Now they know it's there. The Romans, the Jews go to the Romans and said, hey, this guy said he's going to get up. So just put a guard there so they don't steal the body away and say, well, he done what he said he's going to do. Listen, Jack Lasseter said, why are they guarding a dead man? They put him in there. They sealed it. They made it secure. They set a guard, and the guys watched. And you know what? They're like dead men when the angel shows up. Are we satisfied today that they put him in the tomb? They put him in a tomb. I want us to think about this, though. We're big on Friday, Jesus dies. Now, I'm going to touch on something right here that's a little controversial in some areas. I don't have any trouble with it. Some folks are satisfied, and I've got friends in this category that's satisfied that Jesus died on Thursday. They're satisfied that he died on Thursday. But if you know, listen, if you know how the Jews counted days, even a 15-minute period of one day considered a whole day to the Jew. So here we had these days in this time, and we say 3 days and 3 nights. Listen, We've talked about the tomb. Is there anyone in here that doesn't believe Jesus Christ died and was placed inside a tomb? I'd admire you if you was brass enough to hold your hand up. I might even buy you dinner. I'd talk to you about the tomb. He's in the tomb. Now they've rolled the stone away. Dusty asked me something one time. I've shared it here before, but it's come to my mind. I'll share it again. Dusty said, Dad, did you ever think about the guys that took him off the cross? I said, yeah, I've thought about that. He said, have you ever thought about them handling him? I said, oh, yeah, I've thought about that. You thought about what they'd done with him? Oh, yeah, I know what they'd done. They wrapped him up and put a linen cloth on his face, wrapped him up. They laid him in a brand new tomb. He said, yeah, but Dad, don't you know that while they's handling him and while they touched him and when they wrapped him, they got the blood all over them. I said, hallelujah. I never thought about that. But there's no doubt them boys had the blood of God all over them. He's in the tomb. The stone is rolled up on the door. They've sealed it. They've made it sure the guard's set. No one's getting in or out of there by way of the door. But Jesus got out. Jesus didn't use the door. We know, according to scripture, that we call it Good Friday. He's dead. He's in the tomb. It's sewn up. It's sealed. It's sure. And there it is. Jesus don't come out. What is Jesus doing with his time in the tomb? So first we consider the tomb. Now let's consider the time. Matthew 12:40, Jesus said this himself, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. In the heart of the earth. Where's that at? Some said, well, it's because they put him in a tomb. I said, that's not the heart. The heart meaning the inward, most inward part. What's he doing down there? Listen, he is in the heart. He said, here's what's going to happen. They're going to put me in a tomb and I'm going to be in the heart of the earth. Why would he go there? 1 Peter 3:19 says this. He went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now somebody said, I was reading a commentary. He said, well, it must mean this. That he's, because he's, then he refers to Noah using him as the example or an illustration. And that Noah preached 120 years to them and they still died in the flood. But look, he's preaching to them. They're not in prison yet. They're out walking around. So I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know this. When you're in prison, you're confined. That boy's having a fit over here Friday night. You know why he can't keep his mouth shut? Because old Stephen was sentenced to 20 to 25 years in the pen. He got in there and met Jesus, got to preaching to him. They kicked him out in five. I think they just wanted rid of him. So when you sing, he set me free, that boy gets up and has a spell. He preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, he didn't do that on the surface. He didn't do that in the air. He says, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth. Now, how does he do that? Listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. He's God, and he can do anything he wants to do. Somebody said, I don't believe he had all them animals on that ark. I don't believe that. You couldn't get all them animals on that ark. I'll tell you this. If he had a two-man dinghy and he wanted all them animals on there, he'd put them on there. Well, That's crazy, preacher. He hung this earth on nothing, spun that thing like a basketball. She's been turning ever since. He can do anything. He went into the heart of the earth. So I don't believe in that place down there called hell. He knocks the top off of a mountain every now and then, lets some of it spew out just so people believe it. Don't think that's some ice cube cool where you're going to be sitting down there drinking Frosties and you got your feet kicked up. That's how the world portrays or pictures hell. It's nothing like that. So we have the tomb and we have the time. We understand, listen, by the scripture that he said, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth. Then Peter expounds on it and gives us a little more information. That's what's wrong with most of the church today. They're depraved, deprived of information, and it's of their own doing. He's given us everything he wants us to have right here in this holy writ. If I knew what is going on, and I do know, but if I was unsaved and I want to know how I was going to live forever, I'd find me a King James Bible. I'd start reading John till I understood it and call on the Lord and be gloriously saved. You know there's a penalty for not being, don't you? We don't live like there's one, but there is. Family members will be around us today that's unsaved. And very few will open their mouth or say anything to them about it because they don't want to offend them. But you better let them know, friend. You better let them know hell's longer than the life they're going to have here. There's a lot of people leaving here. I went to school with a bunch of guys. They're already buried somewhere. Yeah. There's a time Jesus went down there. He had a job to do. Now, Brother Donnie read that illustration about a folded napkin this morning. I'm of the opinion that he folded that thing, laid it up. As soon as the stone sealed up, he's got something to do. Did his body go there, preacher? I don't know. The Bible don't tell me that. Did his soul go there? Absolutely. It had to, or he couldn't preach to them. What's he going to do with that body? Change it. He's not going to use that same one. It's done. Everybody here with arthritis ought to shout hallelujah right there. He's not going to leave us in this thing. He's going to put us in a brand new one. The time and the tomb. But get this. Watch this. How many days did he say he'd be in the heart of the earth? How many? Three. What did he tell in Luke 23 and 43? What did he say to that thief on the cross? Huh? What? Today? Today? Hold on. He's going to be 3 days in the heart of the earth. Where's he going to be? Preaching the Spirit. But the question is, what part's he in? I've got everybody's attention now. Today, not tomorrow, not 3 days from now, that obviously means this. Paradise is not in the place it was when Paul saw it. Now, don't you get a hold of this. I got this in meditation and prayer. I'm talking on my face to God, and the Holy Ghost come by, and I mean I understood. Now, did I hear an audible voice? No. But the profound thought come to me, and I understood. Now, we're going to go somewhere right here, and I don't want you falling out with me, but and I've not been preaching long. I'm timing myself. I've got about 45, 50 more minutes. I'll be done. Jesus on the cross. There's a thief that started out, I believe he's on his right hand. thief started out cussing him, railing on him. But something Jesus said turned this guy's heart around. It was something Jesus said that turned my heart around. Something Jesus said. Wasn't what mama said, wasn't what daddy said, grandpa, grandma. No, it was something Jesus said. It's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And bless God, through the old preacher, I heard the word. And he heard something. And he said, Lord, rememberest me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He believed. He believed that this man dying on the cross, just like he was, is the Lord. Wow. What would convince him? Jesus' words. Maybe it was, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. Maybe it was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he's watching him die. But maybe it was, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Listen. He heard the words of Jesus, and it caused him to believe. This is so. What does Jesus do? He has to take this guy with him. When did he do it? That day. He done it that day. He didn't say after a while. No, he said today, that day. You're going to be with me in paradise. That tells me Jesus had something to do outside the tomb. I'm going to say this, go on record. I think his time in the tomb was very brief. He had other things to do. He said, I'm going to be there. And he told this guy, I'm going to take you with me. So that brings us to this. And I'm going to be here just a few minutes. I'll be done. I'll give you time to be saved. There's the tomb. There's no doubt. If we believe that book, and many do not believe this book. They don't believe this book. And that's their prerogative. They may not believe in gravity, but they better not jump off a building. They say, if I can't see it, it can't be real. I say, climb up there and jump out, Bubba. It's real. Love's real. You can't see that, but you can see the effects of it. Jesus used the wind. Matter of fact, we're supposed to have some storms through here on Tuesday. You can't see that, but you can see the effects of it. Tell me it's not real. So I think we've proved the point by the Bible that he was in the tomb and there was his time in the tomb. But then I want us to consider not just the tomb and the time. I want us to consider this, the taking. The taking. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about that thief on the cross went with him. He had to go, Roland, or that, look, Jesus lied to him in Matthew 12 if he didn't go with him. He said, I'm going to be here 3 days. And he tells this guy, today you're going with me. Watch this. The resurrection couldn't occur until the first fruit came out. Paradise had to be in another place. Where do you get this information, preacher? I'm glad you want to know. Out of the Bible. I go to Luke chapter 16. It's going to answer a lot of questions. We get to Luke chapter 16. We find a rich man. We find a beggar. We find a rich man who, listen, he's clothed in purple, fared sumptuously every day, and he let a beggar full of sores lie at his gate. I'd say he's a pretty good fella. Everybody says, oh, the rich man, the rich man. I'm going to tell you what. I'll go find me somebody all cankered up with sores, bring them and lay them at your mailbox, see how long you let them lay there. Would you agree? I'm just saying he may not have been as bad as we think he was. And he was laid at his gate full of sores. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass. The rich man died and was buried. Lazarus died and was carried. Why is that? He's going to a different place. What is this? This is the taking. This is the taking. You may jump in front of a bus, kill yourself, but when death comes to where you are, you will not be able to do one thing about it. It'll come where you are. I've watched it come on a lot of people. And it just comes and they breathe. And most I've been with have been saved. They just quit breathing, fly on. That's what I told Jerry Bubb that day. 38-year-old man looks at me right in the eye and he said, Mike, I'm dying. What'd I do? I said, close your eyes and fly away. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my own advice when it comes dying time. Unless it happens real fast, I get hit by a bus or something. And Lazarus was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he cried, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Why did he call that guy? Because he could see him. He could see him. Now, hold on here, preacher. You're getting in deep water? No, I'm deep in the earth. I'm deep in the earth. Say, what is that? Not the body. This thing don't go. But the conscious soul that can see, feel, understand, have knowledge. Listen, remember, all those abilities goes with it. Say, he couldn't feel. Why'd he want his tongue cooled? Because he could feel the heat. And there he is. And he said he could see Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. That means a place of paradise. It really means, when you read, you search it out, it means an Eden, like a garden. I thought, praise God, it's where it started, and paradise is what it looked like. Not so for the rich man. He's looking, he's seeing. Are you with me today? The rich man is seeing the comfort of the old beggar. And he's thinking, man, I'd like to have that. And Abraham says, you can't have it. You had your opportunity. Remembrest thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things and Lazarus the evil? But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. You know what he's seeing? He can see that guy that's not in the fire with him. Say, I don't believe it was fire. He was tormented in this flame. You tell me what it was. Can you imagine your child in the flame? I read this in one of the preacher's books that a school caught on fire and the children were trapped and they couldn't get there. And this one little boy, his daddy could see him through the window and he was yelling, Daddy, save me. Daddy, save me. And they restrained the guy. They said it would have been certain death for him to have went through that window, and he is trying to get to it, go through it. And he said he sat and watched the face of his son melt off. So that's kind of graphic on a Sunday morning. We need some graphic preaching. It was bad. And that daddy lost his mind. He didn't live long after that. He went, I would have done the same thing, I'm sure. And there he is. And he can see that guy, Gabe. And he's doing good. But now let me give you a thought on the taking. On the taking. You know what that means? When this thing happens, you take your kids that are not saved. Yeah. Oh, it's not important if I don't train them up. Listen, they know. I had somebody tell me, my son knows. I said, you never had him in church. He don't know. He thinks this is just a big gathering, bunch of nut jobs get together and yell and shout and sing and carry on. He don't know what it is to be spiritually, praise God, satisfied and fed with the Word of God. Only way they learn it, you train them up. And I'm telling you, mom and dad, it's your responsibility. And there he is. Watch this. So the day that they take Jesus to Pilate, there's a fella by the name of Judas. Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed Jesus. And the Bible says that when he realized what he had done, he took the silver, threw it down to the council, and they wouldn't take it. They bought a field with it. And the Bible said he went out and hanged himself. Now in Acts 1:25, it says he went to his own place. The Greek or the Jew would know this, that meant that you're forever home when you go to your own place. They would have said that about dying. Well, he went to his own place. That's his place. And there he is. Think about this, Brother Jerry. Judas has just got there. Judas has just got there. Now, he's in the number with the rich man. What's he doing? He's watching. He's watching. He can see that same guy that the rich man was seeing over there in Abraham's bosom. And he's watching him. And he's thinking, I've messed up bad. I mean, I walked with the one who raised dead people, and now here I am in my own place, and I can't get out. It gets worse. It'd be bad enough to see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, but then Friday's over. Well, actually, it's not over, but it's approaching being over. And they've taken him off the cross. And they've put him in the hole. And they've sealed the door. They took the thief down. They put him somewhere, maybe in the very field they bought with Judas' money in the potter field. That's where they put the people, couldn't pay for a funeral. Maybe they chunked him in the hole, throwed the sod on his face, and they think that's the end of the old thief on the cross. But oh no, it's not the end. He's traveling with somebody. Where's he going? He's headed to paradise. Where's paradise at this time? It's in the heart of the earth. Listen. Ephesians 4, 7 through 10, I was going to read all of it, but here's what it says. It says, what is it that he ascended, but that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he led captivity captive. One old writer said Jesus referred to that Isaiah had prophesied in Luke chapter 4 when he read in the synagogue that day. He was prophesying when he said, taking the captives, setting the captives free, that it's in reference to this. I never got that before. And there he is. What's happening? He shows up. Listen. I got to think about this morning. It's about 1900 years since Abraham got there. And everybody that died under a sacrifice looking for the Redeemer has wound up in paradise with Abraham. Everybody. Everybody that died under that sacrifice looking for that Redeemer is in the paradise with Abraham. There's a great gulf fixed. I don't think paradise can see them, but they can see paradise. And they're looking. Look, they're watching them over there. But it's not just the watchers. Abraham, Samuel, let me prove it. Samuel said, why hast thou disquieted me and called me up? He didn't say he called me down. He said he called me up, proving again he was somewhere low. Where was he at? Paradise. You think Samuel didn't make it? You're dead wrong. I'm I'll go down another road. And there he is. Abraham, Samuel, David shows up. I don't know what they said to each other. I don't know, Gabe, what they said. But you think about this, Jared. You think about when every time somebody else came, they'd say, "Have you seen him?" "No. But he's a coming." And somebody else would show up in paradise, and old Abraham might have said, "He's been there nearly 2,000 years since when Jesus came." So it's right at it. And he's, "Have you seen, is he here?" "No." "Watch this." Then one day, a wild man named John Baptist shows up. John the Baptist shows up. "Have anybody seen him?" "Oh, I've seen him." "Ha ha! You saw him?" "Oh, I saw him. I baptized him. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hey, is he coming?" "Oh, he's a coming. What's he going to do?" "He's a coming after us. Hey, we're going with him." And then one day, with all those over there in the torments, watching all those that have been waiting, see somebody show up. And he preaches to the spirits. And I believe Brother Brant, he could have said, "I am he." Maybe he just says, "I am." Maybe he doesn't have to say anything because they ain't nobody got there, hey, on their own except Jesus. And by the way, he brought somebody with him. Who's this guy? He never taught a Sunday school class. He never sang a gospel song. He didn't baptize nobody. He didn't even go to church. Who's this guy? That's the guy that said, "Lord, just remember me." You don't have to know nothing except he's the Savior and you're the sinner. So he brought his traveling companion with him. The last will be first. And there he is. Now all of them that's been waiting, all those that have waited, the waiting's over. And after this day, Paul gets a journey. And he sees paradise in a different place. And he says, Randall used this morning, I think, Randall. "Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But I was caught up to the third heaven." He made it to paradise. Now, how soon did Jesus move them out? Quick. And when they left in a hurry. I'm telling you, that's what's going to be with us. When we leave, we're leaving in a hurry. There won't be time to say, "I saw him and he's coming." No, he'll just appear. And we shall see Jesus. You sung the right song. Just as they saw him. Just as who saw him? The 500 witnesses. In his glorified account. Look here. Who are you going to be when he comes? You going to be with the waiting crowd? Or are you going to be with the watching crowd as everybody's gone? I'm waiting. And I'm going to preach this just a little slower than Randall did this morning. He was wound up like an 8-day clock. And to you that's never experienced that, you'll never know it unless God calls you to preach. And I wish that he would. And then you could taste some of this. And here he comes. Oh, God, help me right here, Lord. Paul's caught up. He comes down. We go up. we're with the Christ. This heifer is going to be sacrificed that they can purify the spot. The priest, yes, he used that this morning, but it's not only just the priest. I'm going to expound just briefly on what he said. It's not only the priest, but it has to be the place. The place has to be purified with the ashes of the heifer, or the temple isn't clean. And they're about to do this next month. You think these Jews just doing this because they ain't got nothing else to do? Look up. Paul went up. He saw it. We'll go up. We'll see it. He's not. And Randall used this morning as well. To them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He became sin for us the first time. He won't do that no more. So here's the question this morning. Those that are in the place of torment today, if Jesus come this afternoon, they're going to be there 1,007 years if Jesus comes this afternoon. They're going to still be in the place of torment. And if Jesus come this afternoon for the bride, his church, and I'm getting all kinds of hate mail and emails on this stuff about saying that Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know one man that loves his bride that's going to do anything to hurt her. How much more God? I think you got to be missing a few brick to think that Jesus is going to come and put his bride through the wrath. Now we'll have some times of trouble. Well, hey, look here. You're living in a cursed world. What if you was in that place and you was watching and you could see and they're all leaving? Paradise done been pulled out. And say, I don't think they can see them. I know, I'll tell you a time when they can see them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they that were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Will said it the other night, they can't be a heaven without a hell. Where would you be? Say, this is Easter Sunday. I come to have a good time, do my yearly duty, and not listen to all this stuff. I'm the best friend you got in the world right now. There's nobody cares for you any more than I am, because I'm telling you the truth. Don't you listen to the news on TV. They'll lie like a dog. The government decided to make this transgender day on Easter. Say, I think that's all right. You got a problem with God. Amen. I'll say this, God got a problem with you. Where would you be? Are you waiting or are you going to be with the watchers? I know I've went long, but you'll be all right. You know more now than you did when you come through the door today. But I don't want my family to be none of the watchers. I want them to be waiting. I want old Colin Boy. If he never hits a home run, never wins the race, he wants to be a race car driver when he grows up. Don't talk to him, Randy. Don't talk to him. He may never do anything great and exceptional in this world. But if he'll just come to Jesus, if he'll let his old broke down pa take the Bible can show him how to be saved. Friend, he's hit the spiritual lottery. He's won the prize. He's going to glory. But friend, is that you? Is that your children? Is that your mom and dad? How about it, grandpa and grandma? We got some of them in here today. Is that you? Play me something, Murray.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.